Brother Jay at Vrindavan. Basan, while residing, Kimakara. What did he do? Madhupuriam in Mathura. Cha and Keshava. Krishna, the killer of Keshi. Bratanam, the brother. Cha and Avadit. Kill Kamsam. Kamsa, Matu, of his mother, Adha, directly, Atat Arhanam, which was not at all sanctioned by Shastras. Translation, Lord Krishna lived both in Vrindavan and Mathura. What did he do there? Why did he kill Kamsa, his mother's brother? Such killing is not at all sanctioned in Shastras. Purport. One's maternal uncle, the brother of one's mother, is on the level of one's father. When a maternal uncle has no son, his nephew legally inherits his property. Therefore, why did Krishna directly kill Kamsa, the brother of his mother? Maharaj Parikshit was very inquisitive about the facts in this regard. Text 11. Deham manusham asritya. Kati Bhashani Vishnibhi Yadupuryam Sahavatsi Patnya Katya Bhavam Prabho. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body, yet he appears as a human being. For how many years did he live with the residents of Vishni? How many wives did he marry, and for how many years did he live in Dwarka? Purport. In many places, the Supreme Personality of God is described as Satchidananda Vigraha, possessing a spiritual, blissful body. His bodily features, Narakriti, that is exactly like that of a human being. Here, the same idea is repeated in the words Manusham Ashritya, which indicate that he accepts a body exactly like that of a man. Everywhere it is confirmed that Krishna is never nirakara, or formless. He has his form exactly like that of a human being. There's no doubt about this. 12. Etaranyachcha sarvang me mune krishna vichestitam bhaktum ahasi sarvagya shraddha dhanaya vistritam. O great sage, who know everything about Krishna. Is that what it says up there? It should say, who knows. God bless. O great sage, who knows everything about Krishna, please describe in detail. Did anyone study that in third grade grammar? Or? What? No, there's just one sage here, by the way. O great sage who knows everything about Krishna, please describe in detail all activities of which I have inquired and also those of which I have not, for I have full faith and am very eager to hear of them. Omagana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshunamalitangyanitasma Shigrave Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the word here in the last verse is Shuddhadanaya. I have full faith. And he also addressed Sukadeva Goswami as who knows everything about Krishna. That's Sarvagya. And Sukadeva Goswami is the Muni Sattama, and Parikshit Maharaj is known as the Maharajarshi Sattama. The greatest Rajarshi. And they're going on their conversation here. So he's inquiring of the last so many verses, the beginning of the 10th canto. And first we read Braja Basan Kimakaron Madhupuryam. Krishna lived both in Vrindavan and Mathura. What did he do there? Why did he kill Kamsa, his mother's brother? Such killing is not sanctioned at all in the Shastra. So as far as being sanctioned in Shastras, of course, all this will unfold that why did he kill Kamsa? Because Kamsa was a big demon. And although killing, I don't think in the Western world that, as it says in this one purport, that the brother of one's mother is on the level of one's father. His nephew legally inherits his property. I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm not sure that that happens, automatically. But in India it may still happen, at least at the time of Krishna and Kamsa, this was going on. So when Krishna was born, and at first Kamsa had killed many of his brothers, the Sudgarbhas. Long story, of course. Even there's so many stories that Kamsa, he was Kalanemi. So he had a big grudge against Vishnu from his previous births. One time, Narad Muni came and said, by the way, you may be killed any time. You should... first of all, when Vasudeva was speaking with Kamsa, he'll give so many wonderful instructions. Vasudeva was so known for his truthfulness that even Kamsa accepted him. So that when he brought forward his first son, because Vasudeva had to figure out how to save his sister, his wife, Devaki, who is the younger sister, or sometimes called a niece of Kamsa. And of course, not that Kamsa was following the Shastra. It is quoted by Srila Prabhupada in several places. That there's one verse that Sate Satyam Samachale. This was given in reference to the demons. The demons, just like Karna, he was saying, you can't kill me, look at this, now my chariot is stuck. Krishna said, yeah. And he said, this is not Shastric. How you can do? You can't do this. I'm just helpless. Krishna said, well, where was all the Shastra before when you were disrobing Draupadi and doing all your other things? You know. So the demons, they're very fond to quote Shastra. Ya Shastra vidim utra javartate kamakarata nasasiddhim avapnoti. One who doesn't follow Shastra, it is said in the 16th chapter of the Gita, nasasiddhim avapnu nasukam naparam gatim. He can never get happiness, or what to speak of supreme happiness, or any type of perfection. So, just as a way of inquiry, then Parikrama Maharaj is making this inquiry. How did he do that? Why did he do that? But this Kamsa was a demon through and through, Rakshasa. He didn't really eat. We don't even hear that he ate cows. Nowadays, guys are worse than Kamsa. But he... he was so fearful. He was a perfect demon also, though. Because he was very fearful, very boastful. These demons are like, Asomaya Hatasha, Thro, Hanishe Chaparanapi. Also in the 16th chapter of the Gita, the demoniac mentality is described in detail. I have killed so many of my enemies, and anyone who gets in my way, I'll kill him. I have so many not good relatives. Kamsa had very, very good relatives, too. Jarasandha. Jarasandha had come and he camped out in Jamuna one time and he was doing all this type of yajnas. And Kamsa was living at some far away, 80 miles or something at that time. And Kamsa had conquered so many of these demons and wrestlers, they became his allies. Chanur, Mushtika, Dridvida, all of them. And this elephant, Kuvalyapita, He was the one of the elephants, very powerful, 1,000 times more than an average elephant. And he went mad. So he got loose from Jarasandha, which is Jarasandha's elephant. And he got into the place of Kamsa. And Kamsa's wrestlers tried to wrestle with him. And finally Kamsa just grabbed the elephant and smashed him down like anything like that. Then he threw him back to Jarasandha, 80 miles. No big deal. But Jarasandha was so impressed, he said, whoa, this guy Kamsa is pretty cool. So this is the type of thing, like Hiranyakashipu, that in Hiranyaksha, he challenged even the Lord Varaha. Come on, let's fight. Very powerful, they like to fight, and they think they can never be defeated. And Kamsa also did not describe himself as a Kshatriya. He said, no, I'm just some kind of warrior, but don't. He didn't want to even fit into the Varnashram system. So, when in his previous life, Kamsa, as Kalanimi, this was sometime during, in the eighth canto, you can read about it, and it's described more in other Puranas, Padma Purana, like that, Harivamsa, all these things are given, Garga Sangita, that Kamsa was Kalanimi, and he also, somehow or other, he had 6 sons, and they were cursed. They were the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu, and they were cursed to become, in their next life, the sons of Kamsa, and then be killed in the womb. And they also represent Kam, crowed, lust, anger, greed, Matsaya, envy. What are the others? Illusion, moha. Like, huh? What's the sixth? Sixth one? Huh? Not sneha. Six demoniac qualities. So when these 6 demoniac qualities are extinguished within the heart, then one can attain the stage like Vasudeva did, purity. This. So anyway, when Kalanimi, who rode a lion, and he fought with Vishnu, Vishnu on Garuda, imagine, he had a lot of nerve. Vishnu just, he threw a spear, and he grabbed it, Vishnu just killed him like that. But he was revived again by Sukracharya. Then he went to do all these austerities in his line of acharyas, Hiranyakashipu. He went to Mandara Mountain, and he also got eaten by an anthill, or his whole body got eaten gradually till he was just living in his bones. He became a great mystic yogi. Mystic yogis like Hiranyakashipu. So obviously mystic yoga is not, doesn't necessarily mean you're a great devotee. So it was Kalanimi. He got also benediction from Brahma. You would think, if you're following in the line of Hiranyakashipu, you might think, puna puna charvita charvanana, puna puna charvita charvanana. Hiranyakashipu, look what happened to him. He was killed by Narasingha. But he didn't think like that. The demons, they don't think that. They see again and again, etam drishtam avashtabhya. This is their vision, according to the 16th chapter of Gita, demoniac mentality. Etam drishtam avashtabhya, nastatman alpabuddhaya. Actually, alpabuddhaya. Not considered very intelligent. Just like that one demon, Lord Shiva said, well, you know, you crack, I don't think so, that if you want to crack people's heads, maybe you should try it on yourself. But this is going on all over the world. In illusion, people are thinking, oh, the leaders of the world, they're so intelligent. They would never cheat us. Wow. America is almost like God. We should go and fight for America. We should fight for Russia. We should fight for... So this is what's going on. In the bodily concept of life. So Kamsa was fully in the bodily concept. Although he had some knowledge also. At one point he comforted Vasudeva after he'd killed all so many children. He said, don't feel bad. It is all providence. And he started giving so many references and shastric. So he knew something also. Like Hiranyakashipu also. Because they're in the Bhagavatam. They're speaking Bhagavatam. So this Kamsa, Even after Krishna came to Mathura, and anyway, Mathura, as it says here in the shloka, Mathura means Nityam Sanehito Hari. Hari, who takes away, if you're a demon, he takes away your life, kills you. Suram Yonim Apanam, Mudha Janmani Janmani. Those who are Mudhas, Krishna says, also in 16th chapter, I smash them again and again. Mudha Janmani Janmani. But those who are devotees, he takes away their minds. He attracts their minds, and they become more and more allured by Krishna. So Mathura is a state of mind, just like Prabhupada. He didn't have to stay in Mathura. A lot of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Panchatattva associates, very close associates, they never went to Mathura, at least that we know in this, in their pastime. Still, they're the greatest devotees in the world. So Mathura is a state of mind. And when Krishna came into Mathura, his father came to pay the tax, he came in, and so Kamsa had heard, these two boys are very powerful. Just imagine. He already knew that he was going to be killed by Vishnu, and so still, when Krishna and Balaram came, first thing, they did so many things, they killed the washerman, and they said, oh, can we use these clothes? The washerman said, what do you mean? These are Kamsa's clothes. Are you crazy? You guys live in the jungle. You're mad. The king will kill you. I've seen it. You cannot take these clothes. And boom. Krishna took care of him. And so many things he came. All the ladies, they'd heard about Krishna and Balaram. And then their eyes were melting in ecstasy. And that lady who was crippled, and Krishna straightened her out. So many things happened. But finally he came to the bow. It was this big, massive bow, which is described in many Puranas, that this bow is hundreds of tons. It's like as thick of it as a huge palm, sometimes palm trees, you know, that you can't get and get your, a big, thick bow like that. And it was being worshipped by Kamsa's soldiers and other people. They're all milling around, hundreds, thousands of people. And Krishna Balaram, they came to see the bow, and they said, hey, can we see the bow? And his soldiers kind of like looked at him like, what? And he just pushed them aside and immediately came up to the bow. Krishna took the bow, immediately strung the bow, bam! Weighed hundreds of tons. It broke, snapped, and Kamsa heard it, and his heart was palpitating. He was already having dreams, Kamsa. In his dreams, first of all, even when he was awake, he was seeing that there was like a double image around the moon. It was like around the stars and moon. It was like double he was seeing. And when he looked, he couldn't see his own shadow. Or he would see in the mirror, he would see no head. Imagine looking in the mirror, but there's no head. This could maybe think, you might think that something bad might happen to you. Still, Kamsa was undeterred. He was scared, but he still... He was so much ambitious. He had no spiritual knowledge. This is what happens with no spiritual knowledge. Even so many things happen. Just like today, there's so many, Prabhupada calls, tiny nonsensical demons compared to Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa. They're great demons. But still, Kamsa was insignificant compared to Hiranyakashipu, but he followed in his footsteps. And in his dreams, he would see that he was riding on a horse, like naked, or then another naked man was going by with his weird garland on, smeared in oil. So many freaky things were going on. Still, that was the night before he came into the wrestling arena. Then Krishna, when he finally got near the wrestling arena, and Kamsa was like, oh my God, he was so scared, but still, he sent this Kuvalya Pita, that powerful elephant out with these elephant keepers. What do they call them? Mahouts. But there were a few of them, and they had like sharp things, and they were riling up the elephant, you know, this huge elephant. So when Krishna saw the elephant, he said, hey, you guys on the elephant, you better step aside. I'm going through here. You know, it was like the gate into the wrestling arena. If you don't do it, I'm going to just take care of you. Of course, they didn't care. So he just immediately took care of those elephant keepers. And then he was fighting with the elephant. It's a really interesting way he was fighting with that elephant, you know. He would tease the elephant and then drag the elephant like 25 bow lengths and like that. Finally, you know, the elephant was like going after him, whack, with his big tusks going into the ground. Krishna would like dodge, like you see these weird movies nowadays. They're all actually, they must cheat and take all their stuff from Bhagavatam. Actually, they do take a lot of stuff from the Shastra nowadays. The Hari Pada. They have taken the lotus feet of Hari. Anyway, they take the, he was driving his tusk into the ground. Finally, Krishna has ripped off his tusk and just, boom, stabbed him, got on top of him and punctured him. That. Now, he and Balaram each got it. They're all covered. They look beautiful, covered with the blood of the elephant. And they marched into the arena. Well, you'd think maybe Kamsa might get the idea that you better hightail it out of town. But it wasn't to be. So anyway, Krishna and Balaram, they considered that they had been purified because they let everyone know. They let Kamsa know. Although he was the uncle, nice uncle. You always want an uncle like Kamsa. So still, Krishna and Balaram considered that they had done all Vedic purificatory ceremonies by taking care of the bow. We let Kamsa know what's going on. He had his chance to surrender. And the elephant killing all these soldiers that were guarding the bow. So when he came into the arena, again, Kamsa was... And Krishna Balaram looked so beautiful coming into the arena. And there's a very, very wonderful verse in later in the Bhagavatam, 43rd chapter. So when Krishna comes into the arena, Malanam Asanirnina Naravara Strinam Smaro Murtiman. This is one of the supreme verses in the Bhagavatam, which might be long to learn, even for anybody. But it describes all the different relationships that everybody had when they saw Krishna and Balaram coming into the wrestling arena. Malanam Asanir. The wrestlers, Asanir, is lightning. They saw him like a lightning bolt. Chanur Mushtika, Toshala, they had all this, Mushtika, the main big wrestlers. There were about 5 or 7 huge wrestlers. Kamsa had already defeated them. But they're wrestlers, so still, the people in the arena, especially the ladies, they were thinking, well, this is not fair. These are two little boys that play with cows in the field. How can they fight? They were thinking, this is unfair. How can anyone allow this to go on? These Krishna and Balaram, these delicate, look at them. They're delicate little boys. They fight with these huge wrestlers that are like 7 foot tall, and they're little boys. No, man, can't anyone stop this? Irreligious, adharma. Anyway, Gopa, Smaro Murtiman. But the ladies, they were so attracted, just like Krishna was Smara, means Cupid. Gopanam. Then is described that the Gopas, they saw him as their relative. That's all. They saw him as their relative. And finally, it describes that Bojapatir Virada Vidusham, Mrityur Bojapatir Virada Vidusham. The Kamsa himself, Bojapatir, Boja indicates that he's a big enjoyer also. And the king, Kamsa, he saw him as death personified. Mrityur Bojapatir Vidusham. Those who are ignorant saw him as just the material energy personified. And those who were yogis, they saw him as the Virat, Virata Vidisham, Yoginam, Tatvam, Yoginam. So all the different relationships that anyone could have with Krishna are described in that one verse. Very nice verse. So finally, Krishna and Balaram, feeling that they were purified, having broken the bow, what else do you want? 1,000-ton bow, and kill the elephant, who was another demon, that this was their purification. So this is what we're talking about here. Why he's asking. He's asking about this freaking Mara. Therefore, why did Krishna directly kill Kamsa, the brother of his mother? And Kamsa himself had been instructed by Krishna's very father, own father, Vasudev. In so many ways, he gave him nice, wonderful instructions that we read in the Bhagavatam. That yato yato daviti daivachoditam. In many verses, Mrityu, he said, Mrityu dehe, that your Mrityu, your death is born with you, Kamsa. Why are you trying to stop, trying to prevent death? This is our position in the material world. And it's considered demoniac to try to prevent. And Kamsa was always trying to prevent, like Hiranyakashipu. He's supposed to be so powerful, but actually he's very fearful. He wanted benedictions. He got similar benedictions like Hiranyakashipu. Not exactly like that. By Lord Brahma. Somehow or other to avoid death. To live and enjoy. While you're alive, to enjoy unlimitedly. This was Mrityu Janma Vitam Vira. When Vasudeva, who was the greatest, most expert speaker, was trying to protect Devaki, he was a Kshatriya, so he used various methods. Vira, he addressed him, "Oh, Kamsa, you are a very great hero. Don't you realize that you'll destroy your reputation by killing your own sister? What to speak if she's a dependent? She's very young, and on the day of her wedding," so this is known as Beda. And then there's also Dana. He's asking for a gift. "Please, just as a favor, you please, don't kill her. She's my wife." So many ways. Finally, because of his true word, his reputation, he was able to pacify Kamsa. Beda. And then there's also Dana. He's asking for a gift. "Please, just as a favor, you please, don't kill her. She's my wife." So many ways. Finally, because of his true word, his reputation, he was able to pacify Kamsa by saying, "Look, even if Nanda Sutta, Vasudev Sutta, then he is Chaitanya other than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nija Nama Kori Dan. And he has come to give us his own name." Especially the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the age of Kali. We want to Kala Dosha Nidhe Rajanasti Iti Soda Shakam. Many shlokas are there describing the glories of the holy name. Thousands of verses. But if we're also not enthusiastic to inquire about the holy name, to chant and hear, then the guru, of course, he's not affected. He's always enthusiastic. But we cannot get the same benefit. So this enthusiasm is there by Sukadev, because Pariksit Maharaj, even though he's suffering, he hasn't eaten, drunk anything in days, still he's very enthusiastic to hear. And the listeners, Shrotri, those who are like us, hearing the conversation, Trin Punatihi, three persons or three entities are purified. And so we are those entities, and we're becoming purified by hearing these pastimes, whether we hear them over Vayam tu navatripyama uttama shloka lila. The sages in Naimasharanya are hearing these pastimes. Navatripyama. Now we're never satisfied. Means not that we're not satisfied, but spiritually one has an unlimited potential to hear and chant these pastimes, to chant the holy name. Material things, they become, you always have to have a new one. Another thing. They become very dry. Just like when people hear that we eat vegetarian. You eat vegetables? How can you eat vegetables? You eat garbage? You eat bodies, dead bodies? Because they don't know how to cook a vegetable. What do they know? A vegetable is something from a can made by Monsanto that's made of half, Roundup poison and half something else. Maybe it has some fish hormones in it. But it's yellow soy or something, or yellow corn or something. They sprinkle that in their soup in school, and their kids grow up eating it and get cancer and diabetes by the time they're 2 years old. So they can't understand. Their brains are finished. So, unfortunate. But Shukadeva Goswami is known as Mahabhaga, most fortunate. Prigat Maharaj also, Mahabhaga, most fortunate. Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bhim. Those who don't come to this are considered fortunate. And when Prabhupada was giving his Bhagavad discourses, who was there? Madan Mohan might have been there. 1972, New Vrindavan, Mahamaya. If you remember, Prabhupada at night, he was speaking and he said, your fathers have not come here, your grandfathers have not come here, but you have come here. Why? Because you are fortunate. And at that time, all the living entities were fortunate. And Prabhupada was up on that little hill, on that hill, behind Bahula Abam. And he was brought up there by the torchlights and carried on the palanquin. Very amazing thing. And one could perceive all the little bugs and crickets and frogs, and cricket, all very fortunate to hear Prabhupada in that whole surrounding area. What to speak of the devotees. So if one gets association with Bhagavatam spoken by Srila Prabhupada, commentaries given also by so many great Vishwanath Chakravarti, Sanatana Goswami, Prabhupada has absorbed all these commentaries and he's giving it to us at least in the first 13 chapters, and then again other devotees are giving also later on. So we're not losing anything by reading this conversation, Shukadeva and Parikrama Maharaj. So if there's any comments. Her hand was first. Oh, no, her hand was first. Right, go ahead. Let her. She won't mind.
I just have a question.
All right.
When Krishna kills someone, does their, obviously their physical body dies. What happens to their spiritual?
Kamsa actually got liberation. And although Kamsa, if you read, it's very detailed because it's very subtle and detailed. Kamsa gets liberation. However, it's not exactly that he goes to the spiritual world and becomes a gopi or something immediately, but he gets a certain type of liberation because he's directly killed. Even in the Battle of Kurukshetra, those who see Krishna or Arjuna on the chariot, they get... So, as far as practically everyone in these pastimes, there are devas that come under the command of Krishna to come and have these pastimes, these transcendental pastimes with Krishna. But also, Krishna's Srup Shakti, which is Yogamaya, acts on all the different devotees and these demoniac persons. But it doesn't directly act on Kamsa. The Mahamaya, sitting in the back, who is the external... The covering potency acts. That's why Kamsa is always able to keep... you'd think after he breaks his huge bow, kills the elephant, kills all these... And he kills the wrestlers. Actually, when he killed the wrestlers, then Kamsa really... He understood that. After he killed the wrestlers, Kamsa said, all right, arrest Vasudev, kill, Vasudev. Anyway, he started going completely nuts. Then Krishna just looked at him and said... Just jumped up on the dais and just grabbed him by his hair and just boom, smashed him. And then he dragged him around so everyone could see, Kamsa is gone. You have to remember, he had conquered all these big demons. He was feared by everybody. Everyone was hiding. Even Krishna was hiding because he has this relation with his father, that his father wants to see him as, and his mother, they want to see him as Devaki. See, they can see him as God, whereas Yasoda and Nanda, they don't ever see him as God. They're in a different... So there's different subtleties have to be studied. Although, see, he's born from Vasudeva and Devaki, but he's taken by Vasudeva at night under the yoga maya, and he falls in the water so that... And Vasudeva becomes frantic, where's Krishna? And picks him up, and he... And somehow, but all the shackles, they were shackled, they become... All the doors with heavy bolts on them all become open. And you have to read all of it. You'll see there's many subtleties and many wonderful things to understand, many lessons to be learned, many pastimes to be heard. Okay, she had her hand up there.
Back to the shloka in the 16th chapter in the Gita, one who does not follow Shastra cannot get happiness or achieve supreme destination. So is it that demons like Kamsa or Hiranyakashipu represent that mentality within us, that conditioned mentality that thinks actually the opposite, that happiness is achieved by sense gratification and, you know, just getting more power? And so I was just wondering if these demons can be seen as representing that mentality within us, that conditioned mentality.
That's true.
That
exactly
thinks that.
Says that. It says that they represent. Kamsa does represent, but he's not a symbol, but he does, he's the embodiment of that. It's true. But we also, of course, we have it, unless you're a completely pure devotee. Even the pure devotees are thinking like that. Like Kaviraj Goswami, he's saying things like, if you hear my name, you'll become sinful. You know, if you speak my name, or if you hear my name, you'll lose all your pious activity. If you speak my name, then you... He says, Jagai Madai Hoite Muise Popishta. I'm more sinful than Jagai Madai. He says, Purishya Kid Hoite Muise Lagishta. I'm more insignificant than a worm in stool. So, we're not thinking at all. We're thinking that Krishna's Kaviraj is the greatest devotee, just... inconceivable. But there, those devotees are very humbly thinking like that. They're thinking themselves very meek and humble. Chanarapi Sunichena. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing this example. He's taking, even Krishna, he's showing the example. He's washing everyone's feet in the Rajasuya arena. He's giving all respect to the seniors. He's carrying, as a baby, he's carrying the shoes of Nanda Maharaj. He's not even thinking, I'm Krishna, what's going on here? They're accusing me of eating dirt. Let me look in your mouth. Woo! Let me look in Krishna's mouth. You see all the universes, time element and everything. Mother Yasoda.
So it's just a function of being born in a material body, that the conditioned mentality just comes with that. I mean, it may be visible more in others, you know, some more than others, depending on like their past lives, but it's just like a function of being in the material body to think that way.
Right, but the best antidote, Oshodi, we just, Nivritta Sharupa Giyamana, the fourth verse, Bhava Oshoda Shotra Mano Abhiram, is to hear, because it gives great pleasure, Abhirama, to the ear and the mind, Mano Abhirama, Shotra Mano Abhirama, is the hearing of the Bhagavatam and chanting the holy name. That is the sure medicine. Enechyo shodi maya nashi baralagi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I have come. Ami bina bandhu. You have no other friend but me. At least Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that. You have no other friend but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No better friend. Studio. Because they're bringing the medicine, which is the holy name.
Yeah, the
speak up into the microphone.
Brought up the point about how, am I doing it right now?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You're on stage now, so, okay. And you won't get paid if you don't talk.
I haven't gotten paid for talking yet either. But, you know, the issue is brought up how you may have a certain body and it seems to affect consciousness, and then really the only antidote is hearing and chanting. But, I mean, you can analyze these things endlessly from any number of directions, but, you know, just like our present bodily condition is the effect of past karma, you know, we say that in a past life, our worldview, our sense of self, our desires carried us to the next destination suitable for...
Like Kamsa. He was Kalanimi.
Yeah, that's, you know, there's so many examples. Those are really spelled out more so. So in one sense, you know, we are kind of limited by our present bodily condition, but from another sense of analysis, our current condition is a reflection of past desires, past sense of, you know, what life is about. You know, it's not that it's separate from ourself. In one sense, it could be a reflection of desires in our heart that need to be purified. So it's kind of all tied.
So can you sum up what you just said?
I would totally agree with you that the real solution is hearing and chanting.
Okay. Anyone else? Yeah.
Well, two things. One, I was thinking that it's, I was just amazed that, you know, here's Pariksit Maharaj, he's been fasting, but he still has so many nice questions, you know. So that's a nice position to be in. And one other thing was, Swan Mataji was asking about what happens when Krishna kills someone. So I don't know the exact examples, you probably do, that many times it's described that after Krishna kills someone that people there will see like a little spark sitting in the air, and then all of a sudden that would merge into Krishna's
right.
body.
Okay, you're right. I happen to go and have to go somewhere. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.